Psalm 139, I'll start reading in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. It's back in 2007, and we got a really good rain. And we were preparing for family camp. It was Friday. We were kind of getting things loaded up. And the rain came, and we had it all set. Patty Dotton's parents were going to come watch the house and take care of the animals. We were getting ready to go. And I remember we were putting the folders together, the family camp folders that you get at camp. We were doing that as a family. And the power goes out. And, okay, no big deal. We'll go, you know, call IREA and get this fixed and call IREA and everything checks out good. They've got power all the way up to the meter. So, Mr. Fine, it's your problem. Okay. Saturday morning rolls around. We call the electrician and he comes out and does his continuity test and he finally figures out it's somewhere underground between the panel in our house and the meter about 100 feet away, outside. We needed power because we're on a well. And if the animals were going to drink all week, I think we had four or five cattle running around in the backyard and some goats, we needed to have some water. So this was kind of stressful, as you could imagine. But the electrician, with his little gizmos and gadgets, was able to find out where he thought the problem was. He goes to his van and he gets his shovel out and starts digging a hole in my backyard, right in the grass. Goes through the sprinkler lines and everything. And he found, you know, the cable's about this big around, and he found where it was just like a big calcified rock in this cable. It was split open, and how did this happen? That caused us 4 years later to not have power 36 hours before we're supposed to load up the van and the trailer and head to family camp. Well, backing up 4 years, we had a trencher run a line to bring water over the hill to where the cattle were. Long story short, he must have nicked the line with his trencher, even though it was marked by the locate service, right? He had to have nicked the line with his trencher and brought the trencher over the cable and inserted it back down and under and ran the line and buried the trench. But what did he not do? He didn't check the wire, right? Or maybe he knew, I don't know. Maybe he was, maybe he looked at the wire and didn't see anything. Or maybe he knew that it had broken, but he just knew it was a really stressful time for us, you know, building a house and, you know, didn't want to overwhelm us with this problem. So, you know, maybe he's really trying to love us in that way. You know, a lot of folks even encouraged me to go after that trencher and sue him for the damages that I incurred. No, we didn't do that. I think at times, and you guys know this, that if you were to go after everybody that had wronged you, yeah, you wouldn't have time to do anything else, would you? You know, it would have been really nice to have known. Right? Maybe you just come and just said, you know, I think I nicked the line. I looked at it. I didn't see anything wrong with it, but let's get the electrician over here and have him look at it. Because wouldn't it have been nice to, while that trench was open, to have been able to repair the jacket around the wire so that the water and the soil wouldn't cause that corrosion, that calcification of the line and break the continuity? We could have just done a simple fix right there and buried the line and never seen it again. Well, I didn't know about it. And you know, this relates in my own life because we all have nicks in our wire. We get a brand new house and there are problems with the house. You have nicks in your wire. I have nicks in my wire. Thank you, Grandpa Adam. But it's not his problem. It's my problem. The nick in the wire is now my problem. It wasn't the trencher's problem or the electrician's problem. It was my problem. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Wouldn't it be nice if someone would have told us? You know, I wouldn't have had to get Alan, the electrician, out of bed early on a Saturday morning. Wouldn't have had to rent a backhoe to later dig the hole around deeper so that the repair could be made. Wouldn't have to wait till the electrical supply house opened so we could get that special $250 repair kit, the wire splice kit. You know, it really would have been nice. Yeah, you guys are thinking, well, you know, why don't you just duct tape it, right? You spend the extra money and get the Gorilla Tape out. That wouldn't work. That would not have worked in this situation. I had to call an electrician. The electrician was the only one that knew this problem. I couldn't call a dentist, right? Couldn't call my neighbor. God knows our nicks. He knows where the cuts in the wire are. He knows how deep they are. Psalm 139:1. David shows this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So David knows that God knows him and has searched him. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I don't even understand myself, David says to God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I called the electrician. David called upon the Lord for his sin problem. He did not hire a harpist like his predecessor did to soothe him, to calm him when he was troubled. The Lord knows how much our sin problem is going to cost, and he has paid it in full. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus endured much to bear the burden of our sin. He went to great length and to much pain to see that our sins would be nailed to the cross. Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and all who shall declare, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. Our Lord went through great trouble. And blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, Paul says in Colossians 2:13, the ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. God knows we have sinned. He knows to what extent, and he has made a way for us to be free from them. I do not know what your sins are. And your closest friends perhaps don't even know what your sins are. Maybe your husband or your wife. But why do we pretend that God does not? Why do we pretend that He does not know what we think in secret and what proceeds from the innermost parts of our heart? David says, God, I know You already know me. And I want You to know me. You know me better than I know me. And I know that You love me. I want You to know me. I want You to have full access to the most secret things in my heart. Those things that are even too wonderful for me to understand. David says, I want to know, God, what You think about me. I care about what You think. And if there's anything that is not good within me, I want You to make that known and You to make that clear to me. Have you given God full access? Have you given Him the passwords to your email, to your Facebook accounts? Are there certain parts of your life that you think you have safely hidden from God, or parts maybe that you're just not really sure if He cares about? Maybe if you ignore them, they'll go away. 1 John says, we confess our sins, that God will faithfully and justly forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does this, not we. We must confess our sins. God is the agent of sanctification. If He entered your living room in the front of your house, you know, that room that's usually pretty clean and well kept, you might not be so concerned. If you're like my grandmother, you would open her door and what you would see behind was a living room that was just plush and elegant. I mean, the carpet was white. There were fake plants that looked like, you know, they were real plants that had been watered profusely and well cared for, but they weren't. Really nice furniture without a mark on it or a scrape. She had plastic runners on the floor because you had to, from the kitchen, you had to go through there to get upstairs. And we had to stay on those runners. Well, not all of our house looks that way, does it? If He entered into your kitchen, so long as you knew He was coming, you might be all right. But what if He opened the door under your sink? You know what it looks like under there. You know what it smells like under there sometimes. What if He looked in your bedroom or your closet? What if He went into your storage and found all of your memorabilia? The stuff that you just can't get rid of. You just can't. Those pictures of when you were in high school or whatever they are. What if He looked through your desk drawer? What if He looked through your credit card bills, your checkbook? What if He looked through your jewelry box? Well, the question isn't what if. He does. Do you want Him to do this? Is it the sincere desire of your heart that God would look through your credit card statement, or through your desk drawer, or through that closet full of stuff? I hope that would be the desire of your heart. There's an allegory out there. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. It paints this picture in depth, and if you Google it, it's by a guy named you can Google My Heart, Christ's Home. It's by Robert Munger, and you can print it out as a PDF if you wish. It's a graphic depiction of leading Christ through the house of your heart. John 14:22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. We will make our house with him. Ephesians 3:14-17. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, which ye are not your own? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, David understood that God knew his innermost thoughts because he dwelt with him. He turned toward God. He gave him full access. We were at a little 5K in Elbert yesterday that the kids ran. And there were a lot of youth there running. And there was a group of teens kind of cooling off around the track. And they overheard one of them say, sort of the leader of the pack, if you will, oh no, my dad has a camera. He's taking pictures of us. Let's turn around. Right? Sometimes I think we do this to our God, don't we? Oh no, he's looking. Let's turn around. Well, what good does that do? What good does that do to the God who has searched us and has known us? What good did that do to her relationship with her father? Here you go, Dad. I know you're trying to take some pictures and make some special memories of me and my friends, but I'm going to turn my back on you and turn toward my friends. We do this to our God, don't we? We put our hand up and say, no, God, we don't want you here. Not here. Don't cross this line. David knows his Father in heaven knows his innermost thoughts, his sins and his struggles. You see, David was a real man who loved God. You've seen the bumper sticker. I used to have a Honda Civic in college, and it was this tiny little beat-up thing, and, said, real men love Jesus on the back, Hey, real men love Jesus. David would have been the guy in Elizabeth driving a dually, an F-550 dually with one of the fenders ripped off the side and that bumper sticker in the back saying, real men love Jesus. A little more gritty. We all put bumper stickers on our cars at various times. And I think David would have had one similar to that, because David was a real man. Because he turned his posture toward God. His countenance was towards his Lord, not rebelling at him, not turning his back to him, but smiling for his Father when he wants to take a picture. And in this psalm, he definitely postures himself as a real man. He postures himself toward his Father and he says, help me, Daddy. There's sin in the closets of my heart. Nicks on my wire. Would you show them to me? It is your thoughts toward me that I am concerned about. It is you I want to please. You understand me. You love me with a love that is unmatched by all of creation. My mother doesn't even love me as much as you do. Show me, Lord. I want to take the sin and the garbage out of my heart. I want to set it out on the curb where you will take it away. Don't you just love your trash man? Yeah, I have these stinky fly traps. It smells like a pile of dead fish, especially after they're filled with flies. And I set them out on the curb on Friday morning, and by Friday when I come home, it's gone. Not to be seen or heard from again. Some of you know the bathroom in our home. There's our guest bathroom. It had carpet under the toilet. I think that's against code somewhere. But we rolled up the carpet. We set it out on the curb. And it's gone. Never to be seen again. And the toilet, the mustard yellow toilet, took it apart, carried it down to the curb. I was like, oh, I'm not sure if he's going to take this. I mean, it's kind of heavy. The toilet. I mean, gross. I came back Friday afternoon and it was gone. It was great. Our Lord does this with our sins. Amen. Never to be seen or heard from again. Shouldn't we want to access this relationship? We want to have a relationship with our trash man. My mom at Christmas time used to tape a card with money in it to the trash can. And oftentimes there would be a nice candy cane and, you know, bows and everything. And I never really understood that. He's a trash man. We're not raised to be trash men. We're raised to, you know, be engineers and go to college. But trash man is pretty high position in my book. When we turn ourselves and posture our bodies, our emotions, and our will toward God, by inviting Him in, even though He already has full access, we are accessing the most dynamic and loving relationship ever known to man. You know, He wants to purify us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to go and come into our home and do that deep cleaning. And not only that, but He wants to help us maintain a clean house. Continually, weekly, daily, hour by hour, and minute by minute. God wants to take our sins. He wants to purify us. He wants to sanctify us. So family, let us be ones who access this powerful relationship by inviting Him in, even though He already has full access. Let us turn our posture towards Him. Let us take off the locks to those secret places in our lives and give our Lord full access. Let's give us dominion, or let us give Him dominion over everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think, and even the fun that we seek to have. Let us seek to glorify our God. Let us seek to glorify Him and not ourselves. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we have sinned. Father, we have sinned so much, we don't even know how much we have sinned. Every day that passes, the more I'm made aware of my sin and the great chasm, the distance between my righteousness, or lack thereof, and Your righteousness, Lord. Father, may we seek Your face. Oh Lord, we have sinned. We are faithless. We are full of fear. We fear man. We fear what they think of us. We fear trials. We're afraid that we might not make it through. We are afraid that You have not given us all that we need. We are afraid that You don't have our good in mind. We are afraid, Lord, of pain. Pain that You promised to take away. Lord. We have not listened to your promises. We have not inclined our ears to you, Father. Give us ears to hear. Lord, we have put our hands up and have tried to hide those parts of our lives that are just not fit for conversation. Father, let us not attempt to deceive ourselves by deceiving you. Father, you cannot be deceived. You know our innermost parts. You have searched us. You know us. Father, you have known us from the beginning, and you know us to the end. In fact, Father, you have foreknown us. And we cry out with David, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Try us, Lord. Know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in us. Lead us in the way of understanding. And Father, now we take a minute to confess our personal sins. Lord, would you reveal those sins to us? Would you make them known, Father, that we might turn and repent, that we might walk with you, that we might enjoy the benefits of grace more fully, and walk in the abundant life of Christ. Now let us confess our personal sins. Father, you indeed are faithful. You are just to forgive us our sins. Lord, would you cleanse us from this unrighteousness? Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus who has made atonement once and for all. Father, for his pouring of himself out on the cross and demonstrating his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.